There's also driving tests mixed in there sometimes, and then maybe extra tests for driving, extra driving skills and all those different things along the way. Then just when you think tests are over, you got to go for eye tests and ear tests and heart tests and lung tests and medical tests and all kinds of those things. Some of them less pleasant than others, no doubt. But there's no end to tests in life. But beyond those kind of tests, there are life tests. And life tests are different than the other kinds of tests because usually, you know, the teacher will say, we're going to have a test on May the 5th. It's going to be on this. Make sure you know what you're supposed to have studied, whatever. You may book a medical test and you know the doctor says, come on this day, and this is the date your test is going to be on, and so on. And so there's a schedule. You know what to prepare for. You may choose not to prepare for it, as probably is the case many times when we're in school, right? The teacher told us there was going to be a test. We knew what was going to be on the test, but whether we prepared for the test or not, well, that was up to us. That was a different story. But we could prepare. We chose to because we knew when it was going to be. But life tests aren't quite as predictable. They don't come with a date to say, well, on May the 18th there's going to be a test in your life, and you're going to be going through some things in your life. No, such is not the case. So it's not as easy to prepare for those things. Matter of fact, the tests of life seem to come out of the blue, don't they? They just, all of a sudden, you find yourself in the midst of something. You say, I didn't order this. I didn't ask for this. How am I supposed to deal with this? What is going on? The tests at the school in your educational career help the teacher to know how much you've learned and maybe what they needed to reteach or to what they needed to go over again. Medical tests help the doctor to know what's going on with your life, whether you need glasses or whether you need a hearing aid or whether you need a pacemaker or whether you need to get more exercise or you need some medication to help some things. Those are to help them realize what's going on in your body. But sometimes we may think the tests of life are to help God know what we're going through and what will help us in our life. But that would be kind of a backwards way of thinking about it, wouldn't it? To think that the God who knows everything needs to put us through something to see what we need to learn. He already knows, and He already knows exactly. I believe that God allows tests into our life not to enlighten Him on where we're at, but to help us to see where we're at. And to help grow our faith and strengthen our faith and our walk with Him. Here in Genesis chapter 22, we look at the life of Abraham as we carry on our study and think about Abraham and a great test that Abraham was facing in his life. The word tempt means to test. The Bible tells us in James that God does not tempt anyone with evil. So we know that this wasn't to try and trip Abraham up. But this was a test that God was putting Abraham through to test Abraham's faith. Abraham had already been put through some tests. He'd already moved away from his family and friends as he followed the God he knew to a place that he didn't know where he was going to. He'd already seen some famines in that land where he had to trust God to provide for his needs and the needs of his family. He'd already seen God do some great things in providing him a son and making him a great nation. But those tests, as great as they may have seemed at the time, really paled into insignificance, I might say, compared to the test that he was facing in Genesis chapter 22. They didn't end the tests, but they really were just precursors to the greatest test of his life. The good news is that Abraham had been prepared for it and passed the test, as we'll see in our text this morning, with flying colors, as the saying goes. And in our lives, though things seem to come out of the blue and those tests seem to hit us when we least expect it, in retrospect, and we look back, we'll often see that God brought us to that place and He prepared us for that moment and enabled us to get through the test. But the question is, how will you do in the test? Genesis chapter 22, it says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took his young men, two of his young men, with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him upon for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto the young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you this morning reading these words, knowing that this is a true account of what took place, though many years ago, it has much truth for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can read of the story of Abraham and his life, and we read of his faults and failings, and we read of his faith. Then this morning we read about a great triumph of his faith. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to learn from this morning, realizing that we too will face tests in our life, though vastly different from what Abraham went through. Lord, we know that we will face those things in our life, and we pray that you'd help us to be prepared for them as Abraham was. And so speak to us this morning. I ask, Lord, that we, when we leave here, we'll have that which we need to ponder upon in our life. And Lord, that we would apply these principles and truths, and Lord, that we would have, the gospel message upon our lives to share, as is illustrated in this story as well this morning. And so minister to each of us according to the need of our life, we pray. For you alone know where we're at and what we need. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think this morning about Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience. One of the first things that comes to light in this story that we read this morning is the obedience of Abraham. And we'll see that displayed in numerous ways here. But we begin by looking at the timing of the story. And it says that it came to pass after these things. After these things, when was this in the life of Abraham that these things took place? Well, the events of the previous chapter include the birth of Isaac. That was a very long awaited, greatly anticipated, joyful event. It was a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. We also find the circumcision of Isaac, which is a picture and a reminder of Abraham's fulfillment of the covenant that between him and God. God gave that as a covenant, and we see that Abraham fulfilled that and circumcised his son. We see then also the picture, a sad picture, a heartbreaking reminder of what happens when we try to take things into our own hands and help God out. And that is the eviction of Hagar and Ishmael from Abraham's house, because great difficulty came into that home because they were impatient to the promise of God and they took things in their own hands. Mercifully, of course, we had time to look at, we would see that God prospered Ishmael as a descendant of Abraham. We see the covenant with Abimelech that Abraham made over their dealings about a well, and how Abraham had a good testimony. He dealt in good faith with Abimelech. And so these things were what had happened in the previous chapter. And the Bible says after these things, say, why do you bring those things to light? Well, I think we need to remember and realize this morning that Abraham was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was not perfect, but he was going along life, living the best he could for the Lord in a great way. And life was going well. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard, but don't let that make you think that that means that the righteous get off scot-free and things are very easy. On the contrary, the Bible tells us, and just ask Job, that the righteous deal with things. But Abraham's life had seemed to level out and things were going well and he was living right. But then came this test. And so we see God's call to Abraham here. And it says that God did tempt Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. When God called Abraham, he called him by name. God knew Abraham. But more than that, realize that that name that God called Abraham with was the name that God gave to Abraham. Remember, his name had been Abram. That's what his father called him. But God said, your name is no longer going to be Abram, but it's going to be Abraham. And when God called to Abraham that day, he used that name that he had given to Abraham. You say, what does that mean? That means that when God called him, Abraham heard God's voice giving that name, and Abraham said, this is the great God who promised to bless me. This is the God who has promised to make of me a great nation. That would be an important factor in the test that he was about to face. Abraham recognized that when God called him by that name, that God was remembering the promises that he had given to Abraham. You know, Jesus said, the good shepherd knows his sheep and calls them by name. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows your name today? He knows who you are and he knows what you're dealing with and he knows your name. And he calls you by your name. Abraham's answer to the call was, here am I. Here I am, Lord. I am here. He willingly answered God's call. Abraham was known as the friend of God. Why wouldn't he have answered the call? Of course. Hey, my friend is calling. If your friend calls you, you usually say, hey, yeah, what's going on? How are you doing? God called Abraham and Abraham said, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm your friend. I like to hear your voice, Lord. I enjoy fellowshipping with you. He had heard God's voice before many times. He didn't know what God was going to be telling him or asking him this time, but he just automatically said, yes, Lord, I am here. Whatever it is, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever it is, I am here. Abraham didn't want to miss out on what God had for him. You know, when God calls your name, don't be afraid. Sometimes we say, oh no, God's calling. What does he want me to do? That wasn't what Abraham said. Abraham said, yes, Lord, I'm here. Sort of like what I feel sometimes the pastor when I go to visit somebody. Oh no, the pastor's here. What does he want? It shouldn't be that way, really, should it? We should say when God is calling, and I'm not God by any means. Don't get me wrong on that. But I'm just saying when God calls, we shouldn't say, oh no. We should say, yes, Lord, what would you like? You're my Savior. You're my Creator. You bless me. What is it that you have for me today? God's call is always for the best. Do you remember the day that He called you to believe and be saved? When He spoke to your heart? It may have caused some discomfort in your heart pounding and your palms being sweaty, but when you look back, if you receive Christ as your Savior, you look back and say, boy, I'm glad He spoke to my heart and called me. You say, but what if He calls me to go to some deepest, darkest, desolate place to serve Him where I don't want to go? Well, what if He does? You realize that if He does and you go, that even though you may have thought that was the farthest place from your mind that you'd ever want to go, that that will be the place that you'll be most glad you went to. Because if it's the place where God wants you to be, that's going to be the most fulfilling place in your life. Don't be afraid of the call of God. Abraham said, yes, Lord, I'm here. We need to answer like Abraham. God's knowledge of Abraham here is spoken, and He says, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. God's knowledge here spoke about Isaac being His only son. We say, well, didn't God know that Abraham had Ishmael? Yes. But He's speaking about Isaac as the promised son, the one that God had promised, not the one that Abraham went and did his own thing to bring about. No, the promised son. And did you realize that what it says here, that it says, whom thou lovest? God recognized when He called Abraham to this test, that this test was going to be the most trying, difficult thing of his life, because it wasn't that he said, you hate Isaac anyway, so go take him and offer him as a sacrifice. No, God knew this would break his heart. To think about offering his son as a sacrifice, God knew that Abraham loved Isaac. And that test would not be easy. This was not just words. This was not just, well, I suppose I'll say that Abraham loves Isaac because that's what fathers are supposed to, love their children. No, God knew, because God said in Genesis chapter 18, even before Isaac was born, He said, I know, Abraham, I know that He will command His children after Him. God knew all about Abraham, and He knew that Abraham loved Isaac deeply. May I remind you today that God knows all about you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your loves. He knows your concerns and your desires. He knows what you desire in life and what you want for yourself and for your life and for your family. He knows how difficult some of the tests that we face will be. And He doesn't allow them into our life just glibly and say, oh, well, too bad for you. No, here He said, Abraham, I know this is going to be hard because I know you love your son with all your heart. But realize this is the son that I gave you. God knows these things. He loves us with an everlasting love. He does not allow things into our lives to hurt us. He also knows that with His help, we, like Abraham, can successfully pass the test that He brings and allows into our life. Remember, He says that He works all things together for good in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And so Abraham's commitment is found as we read it in verses 3 and 4. Abraham was not only initially obedient. You know, it's easy to give lip service, isn't it? Abraham, yep, I'm here, Lord. Take your son and offer him for a sacrifice. Oh, hold on. When I said, here I am, I wasn't expecting that, Lord. No, Abraham was not just initially obedient. He was committed to obeying God's voice. When he heard what God wanted him to do, he didn't change his mind. He followed through. Though he may have not been able to understand why. Why would God want me to do this? I don't understand it. But I trust God. And I will do what He's called me to do. He rose up early in the morning. That's challenging enough for some of us, isn't it? Rising up early in the morning. But He rose up early in the morning to do something that He really wasn't looking forward to doing. You know, if there's something you don't want to do, go to work, go to school. The snooze button is a pretty comforting piece of equipment, isn't it? Just, can I delay it another 10 minutes and just wait? But Abraham didn't delay. He didn't wait. He rose up early in the morning. He got the wood. He chopped the wood. He got his servants together. He got Isaac. He says, okay, guys, we're off. We're off to do what God called us to do. And you realize at that point he was the only one that knew exactly what was going to take place. He journeyed for 3 days to go to where God had called him to go. He did what it took to get to that place. Verse 9, we read that he put Isaac on the altar, bound and ready to sacrifice. Abraham was committed to doing what God called him to do. This was not just some lip service. Abraham was following through with all the things that needed to be done. I wonder how often we set out to obey God, and maybe in a church service there's an invitation given and we say, "Yes, Lord, I will do it. Yes, I will do what you want me to do. I will follow you wherever you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do." And then Monday morning rolls around and, "Oh, did I really say that? I don't know. That's going to really inconvenience my life. I don't know that I really want to follow through and do what I said that I would do." Many times we're like those who Jesus said, "Follow me," and they said, "Suffer me first. And then after I've done what I need to do, I'll follow you. Let me live my life for a while, and then after I live my life, I'll come and follow you, Lord." Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God," in Luke 9, verse 62. How often we say yes, but then we say, "Oh, did I really agree to that? Okay, Lord, I will do it, but, you know, as long as it fits into my plans and my timing and my..." That wasn't Abraham. Abraham said, "I will do it." He was a committed person. You know, what we need today is committed Christians, not convenient Christians. There's a lot of convenient Christianity today. We see Abraham's obedience, but we also see Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith, obviously we say, well, his obedience is because of his faith, and true. But his faith is spelled out very clearly for us in our text here as well as we read it this morning. He told the servants, you realize, that we'll be back in verse 5. He says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." He didn't say, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and then I'm going to come back." He said, "I and the lad will go and come back. We'll both be back." Worship, that sacrifice, either of time, resource, of energy, or all those things. He said, "We're going to go and worship God, but we will be back." How could he say that? It's a pretty startling statement, isn't it, when we read that God said, "I want you to go and offer my son." Well, how will he come back then? He's not just offered as a living sacrifice, as the Bible tells us that we are all to give our lives a living sacrifice, but he says he's going to offer his son as a burnt offering. I mean, there's no coming back from a burnt offering. But yet, Abraham said, "We're going to go worship and we're going to come back." How would Isaac be coming back? Well, it just shows Abraham's faith. Abraham said, "I don't know how God's going to do it, but God told me this boy is going to be the son that he's going to use to bring forth many generations for me and many nations for me. So if God's going to offer me, ask him to offer me as a sacrifice, somehow we're going to come back because God's going to fulfill his word." His faith. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed that God, if necessary, would raise his son from the dead. But he said, "He'll be back. We'll be back. Because this is the boy that God has given me as a son of promise." He was so persuaded that God's promise was sure that he said, "We will return." Let me ask you this morning, how convinced are you and I at the promises of God? Are we willing to stake our reputation on it? I mean, what would have happened if Abraham had come back by himself? Those servants, "Well, I thought that you said you were both coming back." No, Abraham was so convinced we are coming back because he believed the promise of God. We have the promises of God in writing. Amen. We have this book, the Word of God. It's right there. Can we take it and say, "I believe this so much, I'll stake my life and my reputation on it"? So often we're not willing, are we? We're not willing, but we should be. We have no reason not to be. We need to be fully persuaded. And that's what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He told the servants he would return, and he took the necessary supplies. He didn't forget anything. You ever been asked to do something, and you forget to take all the things you need to do it? Oh, was I supposed to? What, oh, you wanted me to help you move today, and I forgot to unload my truck. Well, it's here, but sorry, it's full. Right? Sometimes we do that, don't we? We think, I really don't feel like it, but I can't really say no, so I'll kind of go, but not really prepared to do what I'm supposed to do, and then I'll kind of weasel my way out of it because I can't really do it because I'm not really ready. You know, Abraham didn't do that. Abraham took everything necessary. He had the wood, he had the fire, and he had the sacrifice that God had called him to take. He didn't leave anything out. He had the knife. I mean, he had everything to fulfill what God had called him to do. I wonder how many times we talk about passing out tracts. Yeah, I'm going to get some. And then we forget to put them in our pocket because we think, well, I don't know whether I'm going to want to give that guy a tract. So we forget. And we, oh man, I wish I had one with me. And we kind of wish we did, and we kind of glad we didn't, because we kind of feel like, well, No, Abraham took everything necessary. Our lack of faith sometimes is revealed in our lack of preparation to do what God has called us to do. We say, yes, I'll go, yes, I'll do it, but we don't really prepare to do it because we hope that we won't have to. Now, Abraham took everything, his faith, and he was convinced of God's provision. When they were walking up the hill, up the mountain, verse 7 tells us that Isaac recognizes, look, Dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, and we've got the knife, but where's the sacrifice? So we're going to offer God a sacrifice here. And Abraham's response is, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Oh, you say, well, maybe he just wanted to make Isaac feel better, because, well, I mean, he might have turned tail and run if he told him that he was going to be the sacrifice. You know, seeing what Abraham was doing here, I don't think that this was a cop-out. I think that he honestly said, God's going to do something, Isaac. God's going to provide for us. God had never demanded human sacrifice, and maybe Abraham said, I don't know, maybe he's just going to stop me before I get to do it, because I can't see God doing this. But if this is what God's called me to do, there's some way he's going to provide, and I don't know how it's going to be, but he's going to do it. Is our faith evidenced by our belief in God's provision? God says he will give us the ability to do what he calls us to do. You say, I can't do that. God says, that's what I called you to do. Do you believe that God will provide? Where God guides, he provides? God has promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, a promise made to those who are doing their part and giving to God. Do we say, well, I would give, but I can't afford to give because I won't have enough money? Or do we say, God says he'll provide for my needs, and it may take some sacrifice on my part, but God promised, and therefore I'm going to take God up on his word. God says, I will be with your mouth. I'll give you boldness to witness. But do we witness, or do we say, I don't know what I'll say, so I won't, can't say anything? See, what I'm asking is, are we fully convinced of God's provision in our life? And do we live it? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And so we see that he prepared to sacrifice Isaac, and we read it and you saw it in verses 9 and 10. He built the altar. He bound Isaac. He laid the wood on the altar. He put Isaac on the altar, and he lifted up his hand. As a father, I can't imagine. I can't begin to imagine. I can't imagine what it was like. I can't imagine conversation between Isaac and Abraham at that point. I can't. We can only wonder what was said. Was it that awkward silence, or was there conversation that Abraham constantly affirming, Isaac, don't worry, God's got this. I don't understand it, son, but I got to do what God called me to do. And this is what he called me to do, and I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to stop my hand. I don't know whether the knife's going to fall out of my hand. I don't know what's going to happen, son. But God said he's going to do it, and God also promised that through you that all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so I don't know how he's going to do it, but somehow he's going to spare you from this, son. He may have to raise you to life, but he's going to do something. Isaac, oh, can you imagine the faith that Isaac must have seen in his father that day? I'm sure there were tears streaming down Abraham's face. But he said, I got to go do what God said, son. What drives the decisions in our lives? Is it faith or feeling? Because I guarantee you, if it was feeling going on in Abraham's life, they would have been down from that mountain and on their way home back to Beersheba pretty quick. But it was faith. Only faith will enable us to pass the tests of life. Faith in God. Faith that God is beyond this, God has got this, God has got some plan in this. Faith that says God is able. That's all that will do it in the tests of life. Oh, what a testimony Abraham had, didn't he? What a testimony Abraham had in this situation, in this circumstance. We would say Abraham passed the test with flying colors. He got an A plus. He got 110% on this test. He saw God's supply. That was a testimony of Abraham, was God supplied. He believed it, but then he saw it. Can you imagine the relief? As Abraham has his arms outstretched, his son is there. Can you imagine the relief when he heard, Abraham! Abraham! Whew. Don't do it, Abraham. Never been so happy to hear from God, I bet, as he was that moment. God provided a ram to sacrifice in the place of Isaac. Abraham said that's what God would do. And to see God do it, wow, powerful. Powerful to see God do what he believed God would do. Caught in the thicket, Abraham didn't have to go chase it and find it. Hey, Abraham, don't do that. Go find yourself a lamb. No, God had it right there, right behind him. There's the ram, caught in the thicket. He can't escape, Abraham. There's your sacrifice. There's the replacement for Isaac. You don't need to sacrifice your son. The ram is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ who came and took our place, isn't it? We're that Isaac that was about to be sacrificed. We're dead in sin, doomed. And God said, no, I've got a substitute. But guess what? That substitute was his son. He provided himself a lamb. Abraham offered the ram in place of Isaac, who would return just as Abraham had said. God fulfilled Abraham's expectations and more. You know, God is no man's debtor. Faith is rewarded by God. It won't always be in the same way that this was, because we won't face the same trial. I guarantee we won't face that same trial as Abraham, that same test. Abraham believed God all along, but what a special reminder that was when he saw God do it and he said, I'm going to name this place. God is the God who provides. Jehovah Jireh. God, he provides. I said he would, but oh, to see him do it. Wow! What a great testimony. Can you imagine every time as Abraham wandered around in that area that God had, can you imagine every time they got near that place? That was the place. That was where God provided. That's where I saw God do what I knew he could do, but oh my, how he did that for us. Abraham was drawn closer to God. You realize when you go through a test and see what God does, boy, how that strengthens your faith. Oh, how you need to mark that down, because next time you face a test, you need to go back there and say, God did it before, God can do it again. God's supply and God's commendation. Now I know that you fear me. Now I know. Well, didn't God know before? Yeah, he knew before. But now he could say to Abraham, now you know that I know that you, I know, right? Now you know that I know that you trust me. I know you fear me. I know, Abraham, and you know I've got some great blessings in store for your life. Remember what I promised you before? You've just proved to me again, that's why I'm doing this for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Yes, through you the Messiah will come one day through you, the generations to come. God will provide himself a lamb through your line. You know, God blesses faithfulness and obedience. We say, well, if I have some great talent and some great ability, God will be able to bless me for serving him. God can bless you for serving him if you're faithful and obedient to do what he calls you to do. It wouldn't really be fair if God only blessed talent, would it? Because he gives us the talent. God blesses our faithfulness. God blesses our obedience. We can all be faithful. The tests we face stand out in our lives as encouragement to us as we see how God prepared us and brought us through it. If we didn't face those tests, we wouldn't appreciate the blessings. We wouldn't know what God could do. May we rest in the assurance that God notices and appreciates our faith and our obedience. In the greatest test of his life, Abraham was committed to obey God because he trusted him. The result was a strengthening of Abraham's faith and a reaffirmation of God's promise to Abraham. I don't know what God has in mind for you and I in our life as far as tests go. But I know they'll come. Because they come to everybody. It's not to trip you up. It's not to set you up for failure. No, that's not the way God works. God doesn't tempt you to fail. God tests you to strengthen your faith. So that he can turn around and bless you and your faith will be increased. Are you committed to obey God? Because really that's a precursor to passing the tests that God has for us. Whatever it is, I'm going to follow God. Whatever it is, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. With faith and obedience, the test you face will result in a closer walk with God. Are you committed to follow what God has for you in your life? Are you convinced that God will follow and keep his word? Are you convinced that when you base your life upon the word of God that it will be what God has for you? And he will do exactly what he says he will do. Those tests in our life, if we face them with commitment and convinced that God will fulfill his word, in other words, faith, we'll have the assurance of God's blessing and increased faith in our life. So the question remains this morning is, how will you do in the test? Let's pray together.